Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that are designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about OFP, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. And also please visit my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, which has audio, video, and articles on topics of interest in the areas of taxation, estate planning, and business planning. And lastly, I invite you to read my column monthly in the Washington Business Journal entitled Blueprint for Wealth on topics of tax, estate planning, and business planning as well. Today we're going to be talking about a very popular topic among my clients, and that is, how do you provide equity incentives for people who are members or employees of limited liability companies? First, a little bit of background again on LLCs. We've talked about them before. They're a relatively recent form of entity. They came about in the late 1990s, and they have been enacted in virtually every state in the United States, as well as the District of Columbia. They're really a hybrid of a corporation and a partnership. And unless the LLC chooses to be taxed like an S corporation, it's taxed like a partnership if there are two or more people owning ownership interests in the LLC. An LLC is sort of like a corporation and similar to an S corporation in that if it's a partnership, its earnings and losses pass through to the partners or the members of the LLC. The ownership interests in an LLC are not treated exactly the same for legal purposes as they are in a corporation. In a corporation, everyone knows that you own shares of stock. In an LLC, the ownership interest is referred to as a membership interest. Now, you can characterize these membership interests in the form of units that sound and smell and appear like stock, but you don't have to do it that way, and often they're expressed as a percentage ownership interest of the company. So the ownership interest is evidenced by membership interests as opposed to stock. If the LLC is taxed like a partnership, it cannot have an employee stock ownership plan, an ESOP, like a corporation or an S corporation. It can't give out stock options, although we can structure options to acquire membership interests as equity ownership options or options to acquire membership interests. You cannot provide restricted stock, but you can give the ability to have ownership interests in the LLC that might look very similar to the ownership of restricted stock in a corporation. Now, how do we incentivize employees who want to have some kind of ownership stake in the company when you're dealing with an LLC? Well, LLCs are extremely popular today. I'd say out of the last 100 companies that I have formed, 95 have been LLCs. Many of these LLCs elect to be taxed as S corporations. In that event, the LLC can have an ESOP and it can have stock options because it's treated like an S corporation for tax purposes. For the remainder of our discussion today, let's focus on LLCs that are not electing to be taxed as S corporations. One of the most commonly used ways of incentivizing employees of LLCs is to use something called a profits interest. A profits interest is similar to a stock appreciation right in the corporate context. It's not really a profit share, but it's a share of the increase in value of the LLC over a stated period of time. And vesting requirements can be attached to this form of interest. Let me give you an example. Let's say a typical arrangement involves an employee who gets an award of a profits interest. And at that time, the company is worth $2 million. The way the profits interest typically would work is if the employee is entitled to, say, 10% of the company's value upon the sale, that 10% is really after deduction of the initial $2 million value that was recognized on the date of grant. In other words, any appreciation above and beyond $2 million the employee can participate in. So if the company is later sold for $10 million, then the employee is going to be able to participate in 10% of the incremental value over $2 million, or 10% of $8 million, or $800,000 of value will be assigned to that profits interest that I just described. Normally, when an employee receives something of value like stock or an interest in an LLC, the employee has to report income equal to the value of what they received on the date of grant. The profits interest, however, because it arguably has no value on the date of grant because the company's worth $2 million and you're only entitled to participate in any incremental value above that $2 million, there's no value that's been received, and therefore no income would be reported by the employee and no tax would result on the receipt of the profits interest. The employee typically makes what's called an 83B election, and they file this along with the company with the Internal Revenue Service within 30 days of receiving the grant of the profits interest. If there is any value on the difference between the grant price and any consideration that's paid, it would be taxed at ordinary income tax rates. And later on, when the company is sold, the employee gets to receive his or her share of the proceeds of the sale at favorable capital gains rates. So if there's no value on the receipt of a profits interest on the date of grant, the tax is zero, and only taxes will be paid when the interest is sold or when the company is sold at capital gains rates. The IRS proposed a set of rules back in 2005 and stated that profits interests are not taxed at grant if they would have no value if the company were liquidated at the same time. In other words, profits interests only must apply to the growth of value of the company. Employees also must hold the interests for at least 2 years after the date of grant in order to qualify under this proposed IRS rule. They also can't be pegged to a certain stream of income, such as would be the case with a more conventional profit-sharing plan. LLCs have to enter into binding agreements to comply with these requirements under the IRS's proposed rules. Grant agreements should specify terms for the transferability of these interests. Generally, they would not be transferable in a closely held or privately held company. Profits interests can be tax-free at grant only if they're provided to employees or other service providers. If the profits interests are held for at least 1 year after the interests vests, then the amount received is treated as long-term capital gain. Otherwise, if they dispose of it within a year of receiving the interest, it's short-term capital gain and it's taxed at ordinary income rates. In addition, if a profits interest holder makes the 83B election that I just mentioned, they're treated as if they had an actual equity stake in the company, and that means that they're going to receive a Schedule K-1 statement that attributes their respective share of ownership to them, and they may have to pay taxes on the income that gets allocated to them on the K-1. Distributions can be made by an LLC for this purpose. So if there is income that gets allocated to a profits interest holder, then the K-1 will report that income, and the LLC could make a distribution of enough cash to the employee so that he or she can pay his or her income taxes on the amount that's allocated to them. Income attributed to their limited liability status is not subject to employment tax. If the employee forfeits the profits interest because they never become vested, or if something else happens that causes them to forfeit the interest, a special allocation has to be made to reverse the effects of any gains or losses that were previously allocated to that employee. And employees also will be subject to self-employment tax on their salaries from the LLC. Some companies choose to gross up the employee pay to cover this additional tax attributable to the profits interests, but you've got to run the numbers to make sure it makes sense. If there is no 83B election that's made, then the employee is not subject to this tax treatment, and the employee has to pay taxes on gains as vesting occurs at ordinary income rates. Now, while there's no statutory requirement to do so, you may want to have an outside professional valuation of the profits interest at the time of the grant. This establishes a defensible value on which you can base future benefits that are subject to taxation. In other words, if the IRS comes in and audits the taxability of the profits interest, you claimed it was zero, the IRS says it was more, you have an appraisal backing up your position. Granting the interests at less than fair market value also can give rise to tax on the bargain element of the grant, meaning that if the fair market value really is a dollar per unit or a dollar per membership interest, and you issue it at 50 cents, you say that the value is only 50 cents on the dollar, then there will be income taxation on the receipt of that interest. Finally, distributions of your earnings can be made to holders of the profits interests, but they don't have to be in proportion to their percentage stake in the company. For instance, if the owners had contributed all the capital to the company, they may not want to allow any allocation of distributions until they've received a certain return on their investment. If you'd like to know more about equity incentives for LLCs, give us a call at 703-218-2100. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.